Hello, scumbags and scumbaggots. Welcome to a very special bonus episode of the Scumbag Diaries, Scumbag RFK Psychedelics. Our guest today is the man who created the song that you just heard in the beginning of the episode, DJ Hypical Tippy, one of my very best friends, and today we're interviewing him because he is currently on LSD, and we're going to see what sort of things his brain is delving into, so to speak, at this time. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this bonus episode of the Scumbag Diaries. It's going to be different. I'm using my AirPods. It's my first interview using a phone. And I'm also watching my daughter right now, so I have a co-host and a guest. It could be interesting. Let's see how it goes, everyone.
What up? Hello, DJ Typical Tippy. Welcome to the Scumbag Diaries. How are you tonight, my friend?
Pretty damn good. How about you?
I'm living the dream. I'm hanging out with my daughter. She's watching the Yu Yu Hakusho. Sub.
Oh, nice.
Because I rank winners in this house. But the reason we're talking tonight is you, my friend, have partaken in a nice little substance.
D25.
Oh, yes, my friend.
I should say accidentally discovered brilliant mind of Mr. Albert Hoffman.
Bicycle day, right? That's beautiful.
I think it just passed.
That's awesome. So when you, this is sort of a broad topic, psychedelics for the episode. Do you want to start on LSD, which you're currently on, or do you want to just sort of talk about psychedelics in general?
I don't know. You're the expert in podcasting here.
Oh man,
to me,
I would definitely not call myself an expert. I guess fuck it. I'll just try to think of some questions on the fly. When you take psychedelics, do you feel a spiritual ethereal connection, or do you feel like it's all just sort of conjured in the mind, or do you think those two things are one and the same?
I would say, I would say those two things probably are more one and the same, because everything's created in your mind, you know? Who's to say that we're even really here, you know? It could all just be in one consciousness or, you know, multiple consciousnesses spread out throughout the universe. I'm sorry, I'm looking for my headphones so I can hear you a little better.
Oh, no worries, man. This is definitely my daughter's in the back yelling and everything. This is not going to be the most professional sounding podcast, but I'm excited about it either way. She's staring at me. She's like, can I get on? Say something, Lonnie. Ah! She's being silent. Oh, she is.
But, there she goes.
That's awesome, man. So I guess really there's no context. You're one of my best friends of my entire life. I would consider you a brother. I haven't said your real name yet. I've just introduced you as Typical Tippy, but you have the same first name as me, as do a lot of our friends.
That's true.
And I'm taking this episode, the RFK psychedelics episode. Do you want to explain in your own words and thoughts what RFK is?
RFK is it's really something that's for everybody, even though it does have Florida right in the name. But it's just something we started as kids that it's just like a group that likes to let everybody be themselves and do their own thing and also just be ratty as hell and do hooligan shit around town.
That is definitely a good representation of it. And I'm still repping RFK from the cradle to the grave, my friend, despite not being in the state of Florida. And I have an RKK now. Yeah.
You have a what? You're an RFM with an RFK now.
Yeah, true. But, so I guess I've done mushrooms, I've done LSD, and I smoked DMT once but didn't blast off. What would you classify as your favorite to least favorite psychedelic experience?
You mean like as a like as a drug, as like the experience a drug gives you?
That or like, you know, because I never really got a full-blown experience of DMT, so I can't even compare that to the LSD. Mushrooms are honestly the thing that I had the most powerful experience on.
Yeah, mushrooms can be pretty strong. My favorite is definitely DMT if you can manage to get your hands on some and you do it the right way. It's definitely one of the most powerful psychedelics that you could experience.
And I also heard that a lot of the time with DMT, if you go looking for it, you know, you won't find it, but when you need it most, it will find you. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, it definitely finds you. You don't find it.
That's beautiful. And Terrence McKenna and other people have referred to mushrooms as an alien intelligence on Earth that sort of eating the mushrooms just gives a giant hive mind throughout the cosmos the means to communicate with us. I don't know if that's the case. In my experience on mushrooms,
Feel like that at times. It definitely seems like that at times while you're on it.
I feel whenever the way I've described it is I feel like mushrooms connect me to the earth, whereas LSD connects me to outer fucking space.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I could get behind that. When I take mushrooms, it definitely, like, I want to be outside and go, like, sit on a log or in a tree or something and just get spiritual. But, I don't know. When I do, like, LSD and shit, I like to just sit in my room and listen to music. I guess you travel more inward into your own mind, like, when you're on LSD.
That's a good way to put it, actually. I never thought of it like that, but that makes total sense. Have you ever mixed LSD and mushrooms together?
I'm not really sure, actually, but I'm going to have to say probably.
I can definitely dig it, man. My favorite mixing psychedelic story comes again from Terrence McKenna. He told a story about how he was taking LSD, and at the very tip of peaking, he smoked DMT. And he said that after he took the three big blasts and was speaking to the DMT elves, he said his neighbor knocked on the door. And when he opened his eyes, DMT entities had burst through into the realm he was in, and they were like hanging off of his arms and things. And he tried to communicate with his neighbor, but was speaking DMT elf language in the real world.
I always find that it's kind of weird. Sometimes, like, I'll take a big blast of DMT, and people who are around, you know, just around me at the time, hanging out, they'll be talking to me, and I'll reply to them, and every single time, I always feel like I'm speaking, like, utter gibberish. But then when I come back down, I ask them about it, and they're like, no, you were fine. You're speaking English.
Hell yeah. Language is a weird thing without psychedelics. But one of my most powerful LSD trips was with a close friend of mine. And we were sitting in a room, and all of a sudden, on the wall appeared a language I didn't recognize. But that language was like overlaid on top of every other written language I'd ever seen. And when I described it to my friend, he saw the same thing. The only discrepancy was we both saw like banners on the wall behind it. But later when we sobered up and talked about it, even though we saw the same sort of letters, our banners were completely different colors.
That's interesting. I love like shared when you just somehow your minds link up, it seems like, while you're tripping with the friend and you like share a visual experience.
I have an experience from when we were teenagers, and this is sort of my first episode actually delving into any sort of drug use or anything on the podcast, but I think at this point people who know me understand. When we were just smoking weed, and we had like a crazy psychic connection where event like you would be like, man, I really want a taco, is how it would start. I'd be like, whoa, me too. And that evolved into like, oh, dude, I feel like I just got hit in the nuts. And then we were both just fucking.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And I think that's, I don't know if we've never done psychedelics together, have we?
I don't know. Didn't you used to chill with me and Alex?
I did, but I don't think I ever actually took anything. And it was honestly, I think that was when me and Chris Lay had come down, and then I like abandoned everyone to go snort Roxy's.
Oh yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that was definitely a bad time. I should have gone the other direction for sure. But you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah, you can't have any can't gain any knowledge without making a mistake.
Definitely, that is fucking key. And now that I guess you're sort of in tune with the universe, so what do you think about the state of the world right now? Because it seems really dark and negative, but I feel like underneath all of that, we're on the precipice of either teetering towards complete societal annihilation or complete societal awakening. And I think we're riding that razor's edge. What do you think? Yeah.
I think, yeah, definitely right now is... it's getting to that point for sure, and I'm really hoping that, I don't know, like, I guess just like our generation or younger, obviously, since the older people are dying. I really hope that, you know, we can all come together better than the world has before us and just be one, be like one whole. The world needs to just come together, not nations. We just need to be a planet in harmony.
I agree. And I think that, well, getting into, I don't want to get into like the conspiratorial side of the podcast, but psychedelics and aliens are linked by a lot of people, like Bill Hicks, the patron saint of the podcast. He had a UFO encounter when he was on mushrooms. Lots of people have had extraterrestrial types of encounters while on psychedelics. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
No, I can't say that I have, but it makes a lot of sense to me, you know, like, it just, again, like, I don't know, it just seems like, if anyone's going to be chosen to be visited by an alien, it's probably going to be somebody who's, like you said, mushrooms are like an alien entity, and it's like, if you eat it, you become part of that hive mind or whatever for a while, so it would make sense that you would, you know, encounter more extraterrestrial activity while you're tripping balls.
I can definitely get behind that. I don't think I've had some weird non-hallucinogenic experiences that I might classify as extraterrestrial or paranormal. But I imagine that if that sort of thing did happen while you were tripping, it might freak you the fuck out. Or you would just be so expectant of that sort of thing that it wouldn't even faze you. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it would probably be the latter. If some crazy shit started going down right now, like, I don't know. I just feel like I would be less inclined to freak out about it.
That makes sense. What do you think about creativity and psychedelics?
How it's affected?
Like, do you feel more creative?
Yeah. Either while you're on it or you know, short period. Maybe like a week or so after you've taken it, I feel like there's a definite spike in like creative juices.
I think that everyone on the planet should take at least a like 1.5 gram dose of psilocybin mushrooms every 6 to 8 months. I think that would be beneficial to the human race.
I agree. That would be really good.
And there's a lot of people, microdosing is a trend now, and I've never tried that. That's where people take like 0.5 gram of mushrooms every couple of days. And it sounds interesting, but I'm not quite sure how I'd function even on a small dose.
I think you'd probably be okay. Mostly what I hear about microdosing is with LSD. Where you would take like such a small dose that you don't even really notice it, you know, and you take it like every day, it's like a pill when you wake up in the morning, you take it, and it's like, you're not even supposed to really feel it. It's supposed to just kind of be there, like, in your subconscious, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
It just makes you more geared toward that mentality, like, you know, in your normal day.
I could dig it. And it definitely probably makes you more open to things and not as it probably makes your ego not as easily bruised and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. Because, you know, when you take psychedelics, like, your ego is pretty much just kind of supposed to die for a while so that you can, you know, understand that, I don't know, like, your ego is just something, again, that's created by your own mind.
That's true. There's a Jason Statham movie. I forget the name of it, but it's Andre 3000 is in it. And there are these two chess masters. And basically the entire premise of the movie is that your number one enemy is your ego because it convinces you it's you.
Yeah, it's like it's trying to steal your identity. you can't really fight it in your normal day. Well, you can. It's just harder to live that way.
I can dig it. I can definitely dig it. I think it's beneficial and perfectly safe. I've never done psychedelics in a shamanic setting, though. And I wonder if that would be more of the, I want to say, sacred way to do it. Like if you were to drink ayahuasca with a shaman or do a spirit quest journey or something like that. About the closest as I've come was I smoked a chinupa one time with a Lakota medicine man, and that was pretty cool. But
it was, what was it?
A chinupa. It's like a peace pipe, but you just smoke this sacred tobacco out of it, and they pass it around the circle, and it's pretty. I definitely felt some things. I've done a Lakota sweat lodge too, and that was oddly. When you were in a group and you sing these songs and you go through these rounds in the sweat lodge and it gets increasingly hotter and you set an intention for every round and the like intensity of all the like chanting and the group singing and the like hive mind aspect of things is super intoxicating. It's almost like having a psychedelic experience. I couldn't even get through my first sweat lodge actually.
Yeah. I mean, I could see how that could like trigger a psychedelic experience, but yeah, I probably wouldn't be able to deal with that either.
Yeah, I even like there's a whole ritual to it to where you're not supposed to cross the line between the lodge and the fire where the rocks are being heated, and I was so discombobulated when I got on the fire that I straight up just like stumbled across it and pretty much ruined the entire ceremony.
Way to go.
I know, right? Classic Maggard boom. It did the party early. But I think we've talking about psychedelics. I'm just sort of throwing questions at you. I apologize. We'll get away from it. Oh, nice. Well, we'll take a brief break from that. And what's your top five fictional characters of all time?
Top five fictional characters. Well, definitely Edward Alphonse, probably be my favorite.
That's a solid one.
This is kind of a tough question.
I apologize.
Let's see. Link, obviously, the Hero of Time.
For sure.
I'm having trouble coming up with any more right now.
Fair. We can totally revisit it later, man.
We'll come back.
Do you have any of your music making equipment near you currently?
Not really right now. I got my speaker sitting next to me.
Okay, that we could definitely do something with that before the end of the episode. That could be exciting. I played Boozy Breakfast at the beginning of the episode before I even did the intro, and I totally forgot to say the name of that until right now, and I apologize, listeners. But they all know you're a super dope music producer at this point, which is nice.
That is good.
We've been
getting my name out here too.
Oh, dude, no, I'm glad to. I'm super stoked that you're following your dream, man. That's crazy. You've been making music since we were kids.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, pay the bills at times, but, you know, it's what I want to do.
I would say right now with all the fucking closures and social distancing and shit, there's not a whole lot of land or work for a DJ currently, which is super shitty. Fuck you, coronavirus.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, but it's been kind of really cool to watch the EDM community come together. And, you know, they've been doing lots and lots of live streams for everybody. Whereas, I don't know, it just seems weird that, you know, there's all these DJs out here. And, you know, we kind of get a bad rep. And people say that we're, like, kind of, well, we're scumbags.
Nice.
And, but, you know, it's funny that, you know, there's all these super rich people out here that are still just trying to profit off of all this. Whereas, you know, the DJs and us scummy people of the world are all coming together and, you know, putting out as much free, you know, stuff for everybody to have while they're, you know, stuck at home in quarantine. Like, it's just kind of weird.
That's a beautiful metaphor because, you know, like the lotus fucking flower grows from the scummy muck.
Right.
That's awesome. And I don't know much about the EDM community. Most people do. There's a stigma that it's just a bunch of people like going out and getting fucked up in a field, but I definitely feel it's way more communal than that.
Right. I mean, yeah, that is kind of like that's what gets us there. You know, that's the plan when we go is to go and have a good time and do some drugs and hang out. But what you know, it's just when you get there, like, you know, you meet all these new people and everybody's like super, we call it PLUR, peace, love, unity, respect. And that's just like the kind of people that come to these things. And it's crazy. Sometimes you'll go to like a festival and you'll see some people there that you just wouldn't think would even be there, but there they are right next to you, camping right next to you.
That's awesome, man. And I know that as far as the drugs at these festivals do go, there is a large portion of the community that like make sure that they have tests available for you to test your drugs before you use them without like judgment or fear of confiscation.
Yeah, they usually have booths set up where you can just go by and unfortunately you do have to give them a little piece of whatever drug you want tested, and you'll lose that. You'll lose that, but I mean, it's better to know that you're going to be safe. You know, you lose like a little fucking a flake of Molly, but at least you know it's Molly afterwards, you know?
That's true. That's a fair trade-off. The laws of equivalent exchange.
Exactly.
That's amazing. And as far as what was your very first psychedelic experience?
My very first,
if you can remember back.
I do remember, and it was weird. Like it wasn't at all what I expected. I took some acid. I was actually chilling with Harley and Cody Schmeisky.
Nice.
I bought the acid from Cody, and I wanted two, but he said he only had one left, so I just got the one. And you know, the whole time I was kind of like waiting, it seemed like, you know, because like when you go to DARE class, they tell you this shit's going to be so fucking crazy.
And, dragons and shit.
Right, yeah. And so that's what I was expecting. And you know, it mostly just made me feel like super happy and giggly for quite a while. And they kept asking me, like, are you tripping balls? Are you tripping balls? And I was like, I don't know. I feel like I smoked, like, a shitload of weed, and I just feel really happy.
That's awesome. And I think it's definitely what you expect from psychedelics because of the way it's portrayed in the media versus what it is. It's almost impossible to really describe what the experience is, especially when most of the time when you come back, it's like you get fucking memory wiped.
Yeah, it's like you forget everything.
Which I think is probably necessary because some, you know, most Eastern spiritual models think that this is basic, like Buddhism and Hinduism and stuff, think that this is all a simulation anyway, and that part of coming down into this level of the simulation in this avatar is you agree to forget your higher self and past lives. And I think that it is necessary. Yeah.
at least you got to experience it while you could.
Exactly. Definitely.
You could always go get another hit of acid too.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely always an option. And I think that right now there's a surge in people experimenting with psychedelics because of how divided we are. Like, you can't even look at other people's faces for the most part.
Right. Yeah. I think it's good. I think that's going to be good for us as a community, I guess, or of our planetary mindset that we need to work on. I think psychedelics will help a lot. And the fact that we're, like, so separated right now, it's like, you know, people are trying it and staying at home and shit and staying at
home. Yeah, definitely.
Because then, you know, maybe we could get rid of this, like, negative stigma that hallucinogens have, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that, like, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to go to the store and buy a fucking couple hits of acid. If you can buy a 12-pack of beer, why the fuck not?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Alcohol, for me, was the most detrimental drug I could ever put in my body. It made me a fucking raging psychopath. So I've never had any of those experiences on psychedelics.
Right. It's always very peaceful.
Exactly. And even when it's not, you learn things. Like, I've never come away from any trip without some sort of insight.
About either yourself or somebody else. Always.
Exactly. Every single time. And I think, it's been too long. I may wait till Leilani grows up a little bit before I delve back into the world of it, but I'm definitely not opposed to partaking in psychedelics again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't see why you shouldn't if you got somebody to watch the kids. You know, for the night.
That's true.
I don't see why that should be a problem, but I mean, obviously, if you don't have someone to watch the kid, you shouldn't do it. But
true enough.
But that's the whole thing. Like, you know, you're supposed to be responsible, just like when you're drinking. Like, you shouldn't be watching your kid and slamming two fucking bottles of tequila or something either.
Yeah, so, for sure.
If you can control yourself, you know, if the world thinks that you should be able to control yourself enough to not drink when you're not supposed to, then I don't see why we can't also just be allowed to do psychedelics when the time is right.
True. And that's been, psychedelics have been a part of human history until the last, like, well, I don't even want to say until the last couple hundred years, because it's still been there behind the scenes, but yeah. In ancient times, it was just a part of everyday life.
Right, right, yeah. I think we need to get back to that. That would be probably good.
I agree. And like in most cultures, if you, like in this culture we live in, if you show signs of being weird or like spirit, my daughter just grabbed my AirPod. Give me one moment. if you show signs of being weird or spiritual or psychic or anything, they want to lock you in a cage. Whereas in other cultures, if you show those signs, they just throw you into an ayahuasca tent and give you shamanic training, and then that's what you are.
Yeah. That sounds like it should be. That's the way it should be.
I agree. Before we get to the end of the podcast, what do you think about magic and whether it's real or not? Because magic is something I talk about on the podcast and plan to talk about a lot more. What do you think about its existence? Do you think that it's more of like a thought form?
It's hard for me to say. Like, I feel like it's kind of like a cliche, I guess.
I can do that.
Like, magic is real if you believe it's real.
That's fair. That's pretty much, yeah, I think that's actually the truest statement about magic that could be said.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like maybe we'd know more about it if there were still people trying to practice it, like, more openly.
Yeah, it's definitely taboo when people just, like, label you a full-blown Satan worshiper if you try to practice magic. Or you get the, like, Hollywoodized, Disney-fied version of it. My daughter thought that was funny.
Oh.
But, I think that there are lots of things to be discussed. And, like, as far as magic goes, I wonder if, Because it's really all about experience, right? So say, hypothetically, the psychedelic experience were all just conjured in your head, which I don't think that's the case. But say it is, you still experienced it, so it was real. Right. Like the knowledge you gained came from somewhere.
Or even if you do have one of those trips where you maybe don't really even gain any knowledge, like, you still experienced it. It happened.
Yeah, there's no denying. You spent a chunk of your existence going through those emotions at that time. It definitely happened.
Right.
I think that's ridiculous.
I feel like that's how it kind of is, too.
I agree. And I think that I've never done psychedelic. That's not true. I did do LSD at a rainbow gathering one time, and there were like a lot of people there, and I definitely felt, yeah, for sure. I definitely felt the like hive mind of everyone, and like could feel everyone's energy. I'm pretty sure I saw a like wood spirit, although that could have just been someone dressed as a wood spirit because it was a rainbow gathering. But
not really possible.
it was a really good time. Do you think that like what we were talking about earlier with the weed, do you feel like telekinesis is an innate human ability that we just figured out yet?
That would be really cool. I mean, they say we only use about 20% of our brain, so I feel like there's probably a lot of crazy things that our mind can do that we just don't even realize. And we just are always so focused on, regular life, I guess. Where you can't really take any time and try and delve into that, you know what I mean?
That's true. And before we get off here, I think we should talk about what regular life is, because I'm interested in gaining your insight on that. I feel like we are imprisoned in a system in which we have to trade time, which is essentially our life force. You know, time is constantly draining us, and we literally have to trade this time for painted cotton and poly blended paper and comfort. And like, and none of the domiciles we live in are permanent. Like everything that we live in today, if we were gone, would just crumble over time.
Yeah. You have to keep it up.
Yeah. Whereas the pyramids, no one could touch them and they'd still be around for another 12,000 years.
Right. Because aliens made them.
Exactly. Or if not aliens, some way smarter people than we were. And that's like, there's so much. I definitely want to have you back on the podcast one time when you're not on LSD to go into some conspiracy stuff. And back, anytime you're on a psychedelic and you feel like speaking to the masses, hit me up, man. We'll do an RFK psychedelics part 2, 3 through 37 if we need to.
I think we should get all the way up to 420.
I think we should definitely get all the way up to 420. And that should be a very special episode in which we. Here's my promise to you, sir, and my promise to listeners. And even though I'm a flaky friend, if I'm saying it on the podcast, I got to follow through because people like to remind me of my promises on here. On the 420 episode of this podcast, we will get together and take some mushrooms.
That sounds great.
Whether I have to fly you to Kentucky or I have to fly to Florida.
I was going to say we should do it in person.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Fuck digitally tripping, man. Although that would be a cool experiment to see if we could communicate via the fucking airwaves. Because I have a theory that that magic, and in the olden days, like the fucking Middle Earth type shit, that all of the like, for instance, we're speaking over an internet connection right now from hundreds of miles away, but the wavelengths that we're using to communicate have been there since the dawn of time, right?
Right. So, everything is just vibrations.
Exactly. And now I think...
Like everything.
Even us, yeah. I think that the wavelengths that carry radio signals, TV signals, I think that in ancient times, those wavelengths were the channels in which magic flowed throughout the planet. And people harnessed them mentally with their own, like, bio-flesh technology, computer brain...
With their little mental router, they could pick up the signal.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that now it's just all clogged up and we're utilizing a different method to gain it, which is interesting because everything that we use, we definitely are. It's being used as some sort of like archonic control matrix. But even then, we're using components from the Earth, which I think is kind of cool. Right. Like all the metals.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that's interesting.
What?
How the phone components are made of things found in the earth.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everything we have is.
I guess us too. Like even in Full Metal Alchemist again, they broke down everything that a human is comprised of. There's a
very nihilistic list that he had.
Yeah, but that's such a man. No wonder I'm such a cynic. I was listening to Bill Hicks and watching fucking Full Metal Alchemist through my adolescence. But there's a quote that I think you might find interesting, and I forget who said it, but I don't care. And it says that Earth peoples the way apple trees apple. And I think
what is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. Well, I guess that like apple trees come from, like at the very beginning, there's a seed and that seed turns into a tree. And then after a long period of time. Yeah. Yep. And we're just the little earth apples.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, actually.
I think that's awesome. But I'm going to hop off here and hang out with a kid. I am so stoked to talk to you. It's been forever since I've seen you. I love you, man. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners before you jump back into hyperspace?
Treat everybody you meet as nicely as you can, even if they treat you poorly. And if you haven't done LSD or any kind of psychedelics before, you should definitely try it once.
That's a strong message. I like it. I'll continue talking to you through the night, man, as I'm talking to the baby and stuff, and I'll send you the link when the podcast drops. Thanks for coming on. Once again, I love you. And
thanks for having me. I love you too.
Oh, dude, anytime. Everyone out there, everyone, love everyone. And in the words of the immortal Bill Hicks, it's just a ride. Take it easy, Chris.
Later, man.